welcome back to another Film Frequency bonus episode. And tonight we're joined with Rachel and Matthew, and we're going to be discussing the Kenneth Branagh film that's got a lot of Oscar buzz about it at the moment, called Belfast. We felt like it would have been a missed opportunity if we didn't talk about this, having all three of us really grown up either in Belfast or very, very close by to it. I hope you're ready for this, guys.
Yeah.
Totally.
So I think we have quite mixed opinions on it, which should be good. I'm really actually intrigued about your opinion, Rachel, because I've been told you weren't the biggest fan, and I can't even grasp where you're going to take this as far as like what your opinion is. So I'm intrigued. I've got an idea. I've got a guess as to why you had a problem with it, but we'll see if that is the case. So obviously, this film has just got released in cinemas about a couple of weeks ago in Belfast and in the UK. But because it's one of the award campaign films, it's been released at film festivals well before 2022. And therefore, there was quite a bit of buzz beforehand about this film. And the director, Kenneth Branagh, who was originally from Belfast himself, North Belfast, what did you hear about the film prior to going to see it? What did you think about it, even from the trailers?
So I knew it was about, or it was based on Kenneth Branagh's life as a young boy, like having been born in Belfast, which I actually didn't know. I don't think I knew that about him, that his parents were from Northern Ireland, and he was born here, and then they left, basically, because of the Troubles. So I knew it was inspired by that, and my feeling going into the film was I thought it was going to be like a really, really emotional family drama set against the backdrop of the Troubles, which you could, that obviously is what it's about, but I just felt it wasn't done well. But we can come back to that.
Yeah, no, I sort of heard the same thing. I sort of already knew myself about Kenneth Branagh and his origins and his upbringing, and from what I'd heard from the film festivals received the film pretty well. So that was what I was getting. I was getting inklings of that through like social media and stuff, saying that people were, it was, had a good reception for it. Basically, people were enjoying it. So yeah, I was quite looking forward to it. And from what I grasped, the plot, like Rachel said, it was just going to be a family drama set within the Troubles.
Yeah, I'm quite similar to you guys as well. Obviously, I'd heard the buzz behind it. I was quite surprised how much of a, because there's a lot of these films that get released in film festivals that kind of, you near, once they're released, you never hear of them again. And I kind of maybe expected that here. I mean, Kenneth Branagh is quite a big deal as a director, but he's never really been put forward into the Oscar conversation before. And I didn't think this would do it either. But so I've kind of been surprised how much this has kind of been one of the lead horses in this, you know, Oscar race this year, at least up to this point.
Couldn't agree more.
I was pretty surprised by it. I did like the trailer. I thought the trailer was quite good. I thought it was quite bold to go for black and white. And something that we'll discuss when we get into the actual film is that coming from Belfast myself, and obviously our upbringing, the Troubles have been such a big part of who Belfast is, or what Belfast is, and the history of it. And of course, when it gets portrayed on screen, it's always to do with the Troubles. But I hadn't seen a film which was to do with a family, like a very nuclear family, having to, and the film centering on the family more than the actual crisis that was happening around them. So I was intrigued by that. And yeah, felt like I had to go to the cinema for this one. This was definitely one, even though COVID was raging on. I definitely felt like it was in a cinema experience to sit around and experience it with people from Belfast themselves.
Since you're saying that, Mark, actually, I was in the cinema recently and I can't remember what it was I was seeing, but they showed a trailer for Belfast beforehand. And one thing I will say for this film is like, I love the trailer. I think it's such a good trailer. I love the use of that song that's then used in the film. But I just feel like it's one of those films which suffers from all the best bits are in the trailer. Like it gives the essence and like all the best sort of maybe dynamic sort of moments from the film are in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And it just creates a sort of upbeat sort of dynamic sense of a film in that trailer that I feel like in the film itself, it was quite flat. So that was like one of my gripes with the film as well, as I feel they just gave it all away in the trailer. And then having them watch the movie and seeing the trailer again, I was like, yeah, no, that's literally just all the best bits of the film done.
And you were saying, Matthew, before we started recording about you saw this in a cinema that's in North Belfast, which is very close to where Kenneth Branagh grew up. Actually, apparently my dad knew quite a lot of his family, because my dad's from North Belfast as well. I think it's like Tiger Bay area that he grew up.
Yeah, this.
What was the vibe like in the cinema?
A lot of people turned up. There was a lot of booked seats, and to be honest, I felt that there was quite a good reception towards the film. And I think people came out of it enjoying it. I heard people even talking after the film, saying how they enjoyed it and they felt that, well, it does have quite a sad ending, so I'm sure we'll get into that at some point. But people did feel sort of saddened by the end of it, and also, but also enjoyed most of the script pieces, most of the monologues that happened in the film.
Was there any laugh out loud moments? Because there's quite a lot of Belfast style jokes peppered throughout, and I thought, because
There's some jokes that I thought that would be seen as corny. I think to a lot of people when seeing it. So I can understand when people see stuff like that happening that's not good, but I also think of it in a good way because it, you know, other audiences that maybe not get the humor or understand our humor as much, I do think that they watch that stuff and sort of they would laugh out loud. So there was a couple of laugh out loud moments, like especially I think when Dornan makes a joke, Jamie Dornan makes a joke about the doctor or something,
having 2 days to live or something, that one.
yeah, and it's a
Yeah.
pity because it was supposed to have an appointment with him yesterday or something, and like people roared at that, like people were laughing their heads off. So I think, you know, it is corny, but that's what you expect. You're going into that sort of film knowing that that's what's going to happen. So it's not, it didn't really annoy people or anything. I think people actually were enjoying themselves.
Yeah. What did you think about the opening where, because I really enjoyed the opening. It kind of took me by surprise how it opened, how it had all the shots of modern day Belfast, and then the camera drops down to street level, and then it pans back up above this wall, this brick wall, and it goes into the black and white 1960s kind of aesthetic. And I just, from the get-go, I liked how he kind of was telling the audience, this is all about this city. You know, I kind of thought, are we going to kind of forget where this is set because we're going to be following this family so much? But like from the get-go, you knew that Kenneth Branagh really cared about the place itself being a character in the film.
Just picking up on what you said, Mark, about how you felt that like he Kenneth Branagh was really emphasizing Belfast as like a character in the film. I'm the complete opposite. Like, this is actually my main issue with the film, where I just feel, and I'm going to preface this by saying it's always going to be difficult to watch it when you're from the place. I think if I wasn't from Northern Ireland, I obviously wouldn't have this opinion, so it's really difficult not to be like subjective about it. I just felt what annoyed me mostly about the film was it's called Belfast. The word Belfast is used in dialogue umpteen times, and there's all these constant B footage like shots of Belfast and also Carrickfergus at one point. And I just felt like there was no sense of place in the film whatsoever. I know he was telling us it was in Belfast, but really it could have been set anywhere. And the decision then to name it Belfast, that I think then going in is what's, I had an idea of what I thought the film was going to be. And I don't expect Kenneth Branagh to make a socio sort of political statement on the Troubles. And like, he's a filmmaker and it was a personal story about his family. So, you know, I'm not going to hold that against him. Obviously, it's his sort of, it's like a piece of art very close to his heart. But at the same time, I just felt to make such a big, you know, there's only ever going to be one movie called Belfast, and watching it could have been set anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah.
And that just bothered me. And I felt that the street that they were in particular looked like a set. And I don't know if that's like Kenneth Branagh's, because his directing style and the dialogue in the film was very, I thought, I don't know if theatrical is the word, but it's like it was like watching people act on stage,
Like a play, yeah.
which I love when I'm in a theater, but when I see it happen in a film, I find it really annoying.
Yeah, it
But I
takes you
think
out of it.
Kenneth Branagh has like a stage background, doesn't he? So I don't know if that was like a very intentional choice to have that sort of style, but I just thought like it looked like a set. And then whenever the riots, for example, happened, there were some scenes which I thought were quite powerful. And I imagine if you're a bit older and having grown up at that time, there probably were some scenes that'd be a bit upsetting, to be honest. But there are also some scenes where they have like, it literally just looked like off camera someone shouted action and a whole bunch of extras just ran on to like a set, like a lot, like a backlog set. That's what it looked like to me. And because of that, I just had no sense of place whatsoever. And all I could think about the whole film was like, why is this called Belfast? It could have been set anywhere.
I agree with you on that one, Rachel. I mean, that was one of the points I was going to bring up later on. But in regards to the comment about it being about Belfast, it doesn't really highlight the fact that it's in Belfast by showing a street. It's one of those films that I think Kenneth Branagh knew that if he had to do it, a family drama, and give it justice, he would probably have to do it in a street such as that, where it shows community and society and how they overcome those sort of perils. So I can understand where he's coming from and why he's done it in that street. But exactly on your point about it looking like a set, it does. It looks like a set. It looks like it's been, you know, just sort of created on the spot. He does have a theatrical sort of background, so I don't know if it is intentional. Maybe it isn't. I do think, in terms of how he could have used Belfast more, he definitely could have. He could have used a lot more shots. He could have showed a lot of. I mean, it looked like there was only 3 stores in that film.
And on that point as well, I'd mentioned like the dialogue was a weird one in this film for me, because there were some scenes where it just felt like a game to be like, how many Northern Irish sayings can we squeeze into this sentence? And then there's other periods where, like, Ciarán Hinds playing his grandfather, absolutely loved it. Every single scene that he was on screen, I absolutely loved it. And there was the way he interacted with Buddy and with Judi Dench, who plays his wife, and with he's Jamie Dornan's father, isn't he? So, in the film. It reminded me of my own grandparents, like that sort of vernacular and relationship that Northern Irish people have with their grandparents. Like, that felt so real to me, and I was fully like, this is totally Kenneth Branagh's relationship with his Northern Irish grandpa. But then there was other bits where there was dialogue, and I was just like, this is like written by an English person that's read a bunch of Northern Irish sayings. It was really polarizing for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, even your points about the set as well, I do agree with the fact that it did look like it was very isolated. It could have been on a stage play. It didn't look like it was all of Belfast. And I do also agree with the fact that you're saying about the dialogue. See, this is where I actually thought this is where Rachel will have the issue, because I kind of had the issue as well. I was like, it'll be the dialogue that's being used and maybe even the acting. And I think part of it for me is maybe because I'm from the place, and therefore when I hear a lot of this, it kind of makes me cringe, and even some of the accents make me cringe, and I think then it kind of throws me out of the film when I feel like that. Whereas if it was someone else watching in on it, it probably, maybe that wouldn't be a problem. But yeah, I do agree. Sometimes it felt like, oh, we're really laying out thick with a lot of these sayings, and just the characterization of these people from Belfast. But at the same time, I was like, well, this is kind of what it's all about. You know, this probably, you know, a lot of this is kind of what it's like, but when you put it on screen, it kind of comes across really corny. And yeah, I mean, and the idea that you lived in each other's houses and there were kids just running through people's houses, you know, I think that probably, I mean, it was a bit heavy-handed there. And there is some stuff, as you said, the starting point, there were some really good things about it, but there was also lots of stuff where it felt very heavy-handed, like the whole idea of him with the sword and the bin lid as like like playing swords basically with kids, and then all of a sudden reality strikes and his mum has to grab that and she has to actually use it as a shield for real this time. Like, as much as I was like, oh, I get the symbolism, it just felt a little, wasn't very subtle. I think that's the issue.
The heavy-handedness came across how I felt sometimes anytime he did try to refer to the conflict. It was then very heavy-handed of Catholics and Protestants are all people, and I hate that we're so far past that at now in media about Northern Ireland, or any sort of art form about Northern Ireland and the Troubles and the aftermath of it. Whenever they just break it down to Catholics and Protestants are all people, I just find it really frustrating. But again, like, it's the Northern Irish viewpoint on it, because I understand that's how it's perceived by the rest of the world, particularly American audiences. If you ever read anything about Northern Ireland aimed at American audiences, it's always that sort of angle on it. So yeah. I get it. I think it's always going to be challenging if a Northern Irish person reviewing this film, because, well, me especially, I'm probably being a bit harsh, but that sort of stuff just takes me out of the film.
Yeah. What did we think about the story in general throughout this? Because obviously it focuses very much on the family and Buddy in particular. What did you think of the story and where it led and where it ended up?
I sort of was really struggling before seeing the film how he was going to create a story within that and actually have lighthearted moments and those peril moments where you see what's going on in the street. The one thing that I will say about the film that I really enjoy, and I think Kenneth Branagh has done very well with the film, is do it from the boy's perspective. I think we talk about, like, obviously when you see films and we see the troubles and whatever, it's, we are far past that. We're not thinking about that as much anymore. I don't think people really like thinking about it anymore. So doing a film on that, it can be very opinionated and people will have their opinions. But I think what he did very well was through that story of showing them trying to move and wanting to move, that they highlighted instantly to me and to a lot of audiences that the children involved the whole way through the process were innocent and all of it, and that they didn't really have much of a choice. Society was dictating to them what they wanted to choose and what sort of way they wanted to live, and it was already being done right in front of their eyes and they didn't have a say in it. So I think he handled that perfectly well, and I think Buddy the actor, I don't actually know the wee boy's name, but I thought he was absolutely brilliant.
Jude Hill is what he's called. I agree, Matthew. I really like him. Like, I think kid actors get a bad rap. You know, sometimes there's a lot of films, if it's a kid lead, you'll get 50% of the audience saying it, they're really annoying. I thought he was really good. I thought he was really sweet. I thought he was really watchable. I was actually listening to a podcast with Kenneth Branagh talking about this film, which is funny because I didn't actually like it that much, but I was just curious to see what he was saying about making it. And they were talking about when they came over to Belfast to try and find the right boy for the part, and what he liked about Jude Hill was it wasn't like an instant like, oh my god, this is Buddy, but it was like his acting ability at such a young age. They were talking about the fact that child actors sometimes they look like they're waiting to say their line and it's really off-putting for the audience, whereas Jude Hill was really good at listening to the scene, like being dynamic and reacting to what was going on in the moment instead of just waiting to say his next line, which I thought it was funny. It was just something as small as that which kind of helped him pick him. But the two of them get on like really well as well, because I think Kenneth Branagh is a Spurs fan and Jude Hill is a Liverpool fan, and Kenneth Branagh like takes him to football matches and stuff now. It's actually really sweet.
Very good, very good. I mean the story, I think he sold the story for me as well. I also like the kid actor, Jude, Rachel. And I think, yeah, for the most part, I was happy with all their performance. I thought the mum was probably the best out of them all. I'm still not entirely sold on Jamie Dornan as an actor. I think he's great.
Me neither.
Like, he's just
I don't think anybody is.
He seems like a sound guy, but I just find him hard to watch.
Yeah, I think that I heard that from absolutely everyone. Like, everybody just didn't like Jamie Dornan in this film. I don't know why, because I do think that he just did what he had to do, really, and he acted the film, and I didn't think he acted it badly, or wasn't, like, to me, he did a good job of being the father. Someone actually came up to me and was like, that's not even a Belfast accent, and I was like, what? And he was like, it's not a Belfast accent, he's doing it's a Hollywood accent. And I went, do you mean Hollywood is in, like, Hollywood down the road, or what would he? And he explained, he was like, yeah. I was like, but you know, there's plenty of people living in Belfast that wouldn't have the same Belfast accent, really. So
I do think they sold, like, Kenneth Branagh sold the relationship of him as a father and this, you know, and the mum, and like the terror and the tough decision that they had to make was to go to England, to get away from this and really to provide a better future for their kids. And I think that's kind of was the, I can't remember the scene in particular, but yeah, obviously there's the riot that happens in the opening scene, and then there's another really, really big incident that happens halfway through, and I think that's the tipping point for the mum to realise, actually, there's a very good chance my kids won't have a future here, or even worse, they may end up dead. And that she had to make the tough decision to go. And I think they definitely sold that. And I loved, again, when we get into talking about the ending, I really liked where that ended up as well, because it was that really bittersweet element.
I think her acting throughout the film was absolutely amazing. I think it was the one thing that you can take away from it if you're talking about the acting in the film. I think her name's Katrina Wolf. I'm not really sure how you say her name, but she was absolutely brilliant from the start to finish. even the scene where the riot was happening and they were in the store and she brings the kids back to the store.
Daz. Was it Daz?
And they're screaming in the people's faces. Literally, because I went and seen it with my mom and dad, and I know for a fact that if I did anything like that, my mom would have done exactly that in the middle of it. They wouldn't have cared.
She wouldn't have cared that it was in the middle of a literal riot that's happening. She'd be like, that kid deserved, told off sort of thing.
It really showed off her acting skills. It really showed how involved, I think she involved herself within the plot and the idea of what Kenneth Branagh was trying to achieve with the film. And I think that she did it so well.
I remember there's one scene where she kind of like gets upset on the phone, like kind of wanting him to come home. And there's obviously the kind of side plot around it. It's like a tax or something they're paying. I can't quite remember now because I watched the movie quite a while ago. But I actually quite like that storyline because I think we're talking about the film being set in the Troubles and like some of the scenes are literally about like rioting and conflict. But what I really liked about the film was the focus on the family, and it's kind of like this family's life brushing up against like the conflict that was going on. And even outside of the conflict, there was still daily life issues that had to be addressed, like losing family members, going to school, passing your maths tests, trying to pay your bills. Because I think that will probably resonate with a lot of Northern Irish people, like especially like at our parents' age, of people look back at that period of time and it's completely dominated by the conflict, but in reality everybody was still just trying to live their lives because like that didn't stop. And I think Kenneth Branagh did capture that quite well. I just find the performances between the family members from an acting perspective sometimes to be a bit flat, so I wasn't always like emotionally engaged in it, and I think maybe the dialogue didn't help. Yeah. But that approach of a story set in a very sort of turbulent time in Northern Ireland, but looking purely through a family focus and not sort of, not following police officers and soldiers on the street and stuff, I thought was very tasteful.
Yep, I think that made it, totally agree, Rachel. I think that made it stand out to the other Trouble films to me. Didn't just get drowned in the mass of other, Trouble films. Like, I watched that 71 film last year, and again, it was all to do with the conflict, but it was good that this was family centered. And yet now that you say about some of the interactions with the family seemed really wooden, I remember there was this scene where Jimmy Dornan is sitting with his wife and it's Christmas Day, and then he sits and moves forward and tells the boys, I have something to tell you. And the way that was done, it felt like I could imagine someone saying, take two or something like that there, like, let's go. It just seems so wooden. It seemed like something that was totally rehearsed and not genuine at all. And I don't know whose fault it was there. I don't know if it was Jimmy Dornan's, but I remember that scene in particular didn't fit for me. It kind of threw me out of the film.
Yeah, because I think if you're going to do a film which is sort of, the sort of vibe is like, no politics at the dinner table is like the vibe of the film. So if you're going to do that and kind of sidestep all the politics and focus on the family performances and connections, I think need to be really strong. You really have to believe in it. And I think like you need to live with them a little bit as well. Like one thing that bothered me in the movie was, I don't have any like exact examples to hand, but just from like watching the film, I just felt the scenes were very like, someone says something, next scene, and none of the scenes are like given a chance to like breathe. I never really felt like I could like properly get to know the characters. It's a tall ask, like that's a hard thing to do in a film as well. Obviously it's not like it's a book where you've got like 400 pages to get to know someone, but because he was sidestepping all that political social stuff, the personal element had to be really strong. And I just felt for some of them, e.g. the Jimmy Dornan character, it just didn't work for me.
Also, can I just mention, just while I was thinking about it, what was up with that funeral? I've never been to a funeral quite like that.
Irish wake.
But they're meant to be Protestants. That doesn't happen in a Protestant. We're very doom and gloom with the funeral.
Well, we are, but like I do think that
like dancing and all, and them being the centerpiece, and all these trumpets going off. This band, playing away.
Can we talk about that? I'm glad you brought that up, because that was absolutely ridiculous. Okay, I'll give you one thing and that thought, and that was that. All right, it was just too much. Like, there was too much going on.
Is this the singing and dance, the Everlasting Love scene?
Needed.
Like the tonal shift from the wake to that was weird.
And then for that to then switch to them singing and Everlasting Love, and like basically them having like some sort of reconnecting scene between the mother and the father.
Yeah, like that's the scene that Buddy sees his parents like coming together again. Yeah, you're kind of just like, oh, right, okay.
I just have a problem with the placement of the scene, I think.
Yeah.
You could have done something like that maybe midway through the film and not have it to do with the wake in general or the funeral. It's not good.
On that podcast I was listening to with Kenneth Branagh, he said that apparently that's like Jamie Dornan's party piece now. And I'm just like, God help us. We're ever at a party in Northern Ireland and Jamie Dornan shows up. He sings that song, apparently.
No.
Also, what did you think about when they go to the cinema? Like, obviously, there's quite a bit of... Obviously, Kenneth Branagh has a film background and he loves films. And I think he tried to immerse that in Buddy's life. And he got, you know, showed Buddy going to the cinema. And as you said, Rachel, trying to do everyday stuff in the middle of this war. And... they had Chitty Chitty Bang Bang on, and I really, really enjoyed how they put that in colour, whereas the rest of the film's in black and white. And even with the granny, I remember like her face kind of lights up from the whole film, and you can see the reflection in colour in her glasses.
Yeah, on her glasses. That was quite cool. Because I don't really like the black and white. I think it looks a bit murky. I'm not going to pretend to know anything about cinematography or colouring of a film, but it just looked really murky and grey. But I really liked that scene, and the reflection in her glasses was really cool.
Apparently they filmed that cinema scene in some really old cinema in Belfast. I don't know if it was the Strand Cinema.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it probably was.
I remember when we watched it, we were like, is that the Strand, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a nice scene, though. And I think, like, I love, like, coming-of-age moments in films when you see stuff like that. It's just, like, in that film, it's just a young boy just really getting into movies, and I just think it's really sweet. It's a pity. It's not really... It doesn't really go anywhere in the film, I suppose, but you get the value of it knowing, I guess because you know it's meant to be Kenneth Branagh, it's a bit more, it packs more of a punch because you're like, oh, you know, this is where it started and you know, look at him now.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. And also the TV series and stuff that he's watching, like Star Trek and whatever, like I could hear multiple people in the room like pointing at the screen and basically recreating what Buddy does when he's in the cinema and watching the screen. So I think it's really well handled. And some of the films that he was watching, like Westerns and The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance and all these really classic films, I think was something that a lot of people related to because a lot of people would love those films and it would be on their TV sets, you know, back in the day.
Very nostalgic. I feel like we can't record this episode though without at least referencing that bizarre Mexican standoff.
Yeah, that was weird.
I have nothing else to say about this scene except that was weird.
He's an excellent thrower. I'll give him that.
Yeah. It was so Hollywood and it just was so stupid. Again, it's probably the Northern Irish thing. If you lived in America or something, maybe you're like, oh, well, holy look at that. Man. But just we're sitting on the sofa watching it. Like you have to laugh, and then again it takes you out of the moment because that's meant to be very serious. It's like a big, you know, moment, and we were just like couldn't stop laughing because it was so stupid. And like I haven't watched it with my parents, but I imagine like my dad would think that was the funniest thing in the world. Like it was just the oddest little scene.
Yeah,
that's my note to Kenneth Branagh, should have cut that one.
No, like honestly I can see why he sort of he's done that whole Mexican stand-up because, again, I think he's filming it from his perspective, and in this film, it's a child's perspective.
That's what I was going to say, giving him sort of the benefit of the doubt, is that the child perspective thing coming through? And I think watching the film, there's moments where it's really clear it's from a child's perspective, but then sometimes I would forget that. So maybe in that scene, that's what that was about, but it just didn't land, I don't think, which is why everyone I've spoken to like was kind of...
What's going on about
that scene?
What did you think about then coming up to the ending where, of course, the granda has died and the family have decided we're going to move to England? And, of course, the bittersweet ending where they have to say goodbye to Judi Dench, Granny Judi Dench. Because I bought all that, really. I did feel really bad for the situation. And I think, and then, of course, when they had... Then they rolled the credits, sort of, and then they have that, you know, to all those who moved away. What was it?
All those who left and all those who stayed, I think.
Yeah, and that's what it was.
The language. Yeah.
All those who were lost.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
And I thought that was really, it was a nice little send-off as well, because that speaks to everyone in the crisis at the time, you know. Like my family, I was looking around and I was like, I know you're the ones that stayed and there will have been ones that left. I know people who have left and I know ones that were lost. So I think that really spoke to Belfast and the people of Belfast that last little bit more than it would have to any other audience. And I know Ross is on the podcast. He's really looking forward to watching this film. And he said, I've been told by other people that you'll really get something more out of it if you are one of these people who has left Belfast. And I said, yes, I do think you probably would after that ending. But yeah, I really enjoyed the ending. What did you think of it?
I agree with that. I think at the end, to be honest, Judy Dench's acting throughout it is questionable. But her accent is questionable. I mean, I have to throw that out there now.
The accent is questionable.
But she wasn't terrible. Like, she wasn't bad at acting.
To be fair to you, Judy Dench, you weren't terrible.
You were good, but your accent was questionable. Yeah. So,
like, I honestly couldn't tell. I watched a part of the film thinking she was meant to be English, because whenever Ciarán Hinds says, yes, I've been married to your granny for 50 odd years, I've never understood a word she says, I was like, is that because she's from another country? And then I got to the end, I was like, oh no, I think she's Northern Irish.
Yeah.
Unless she was meant to be Southern Irish. Maybe that was what it was meant. Because she
was English.
Maybe it was English. I don't know.
Oh dear. No,
I think she was meant to be from Northern Ireland, but it wasn't great.
It wasn't great. But in saying that, I think he still felt for her towards the end.
Oh, my heart broke for her at the end.
Like, I think it was a really heartbreaking moment. And, like, just the way the body looks out the window one last time before it goes, I think it was heartbreaking. And when she walks in the door as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, pretty much everything you said, Matthew. Like, I think it made me that I didn't feel a lot of emotion watching the film until that last scene. Like, it definitely did get me. It made me sad because, well, there's a few reasons. I felt sad that they were leaving and she was staying in Northern Ireland. Obviously, she just lost her husband. Like, I thought that was sad. It made me sad that, like, you think back to Northern Ireland at that time. And I know Northern Ireland still does have a bit of a, like, they call it, like, brain drain. You know, people leave because they feel like there's nothing going on here. But especially at that time, you know, people really felt like they had no choice but to go because otherwise they didn't have any prospects. So that was sad that, like, Northern Ireland was a place like that when you think back. But then I suppose it has, like, that added weight of, well, you know that's meant to be Kenneth Branagh going away on that bus, and, like, you know what becomes of him, and it does make you think, like, what would have came of him if he'd stayed in Belfast? Like, would he still, what would he have ended up doing? Like, because obviously he's so successful now, and he's very heavily associated with Northern Ireland and stuff. So I feel like all those factors together just made it quite, like, it did pack a bit of a punch, and then, like, the sort of closing credits thing as well. And Judi Dench, to be fair to her, I know we were slagging off her acting, but she does deliver that line really well. Like, the go now, don't look back.
Yeah.
So, just to wrap up, what would you rate this film if you had to out of 10? And also, what prospects do you think this has for the award seasons coming up? Because I saw today the BAFTA nominations came out, and Belfast has done pretty well. I think it's the second or third most nominations out of all the films this year. So what do you reckon, along with your rating?
My gut reaction when I watched the film, I probably give it, like, the equivalent of a 2 or a 3. Now I have, like, sat on it a bit, and I've kind of recognizing the fact I'm probably being a bit harsh for, like, subjective Belfast reasons, I'd probably maybe give it, like, a 5 or a 6. There's still a lot about the film, i.e. the dialogue and the characters, that bothers me, that I probably couldn't go much higher. But I'll give it, give a bit of a boost up to a 5 or a 6. And then in terms of how well they'll do, I don't know, like, it seems like an Oscar-baity movie. To be honest, like, I feel like films that are sort of pitched as, like, personal projects, and, like, even things like the fact it's in black and white and stuff, I don't know, I just feel like people buy into that. I wonder whether the film really has any longevity past award season. I personally just don't think it's that good. But then when I think of other Oscar-baity films, like, I don't know if either of you guys have seen House of Gucci. Like, that movie shouldn't have even been made. It's so bad. At least Belfast is a decent film. So, I don't know. I actually don't even know the full list of contenders this year, but I'd say Belfast has, there's a lot going for it, I think, for foreign audiences. And by foreign, I mean, like, outside of Northern Ireland.
I do think it was a decent film, and it did exactly what it said it was going to do, and it set out, and it achieved that for me, especially the end. So, and the acting, yes, in some bits were not as great and maybe not as good. I think in the end, I did feel some sort of real authenticity from it, and that maybe not all scenes are done for, they were all sort of done for dramatic purposes, but some of them did affect me. So in that sense, I would give it like a 6 or 7. In terms of the whole Oscar thing, agreeing with what Rachel says, people buy into that sort of thing with the black and white filter and the idea of it being about a child and watching his upbringing. People love that sort of thing. So I could see it doing pretty well.
Yeah, I would echo kind of what you've said. I would rate this about a 6.5 out of 10. I'm glad, Rachel, that we've kind of won you over slightly, up to kind of what we thought about it. I'm glad it's off a 2 anyway. but yeah, I would agree. I think also I probably would have rated that maybe down into 5 if it hadn't been for the ending. I think the ending really kind of made it. And there's a lot to be said for how you finish a film. And that kind of, it was a nice way to finish and it was effective. And as Matthew said, it was authentic as well. I felt there was an actual love for the place. It wasn't just someone being like, using it as a marketing idea and not really having an idea at all about what the people are like from Belfast. So, no, I think Kenneth Branagh, there was a love for it there. And yeah, I don't know about the campaigns for the Oscars. It's so hard to guess for the Oscars. And I think, I mean, films that often are talked about at this time of year, sometimes by the time the Oscars come around, lose their momentum. And the Oscars are really late this year, in like March. So I don't know.
What would its like main competitor be? Do you guys know?
The front runner at Christmas time, along with it, was Steven Spielberg's West Side Story. But I don't think it's been winning as many since then. And now, the Power of the Dog on Netflix seems to be creeping up an awful lot.
I've heard about that one. I've heard that's good.
So I don't know. And then there's that other one to do with, what's it called? The person with, it's all to do with the deaf girl.
I think it's on Sky. She's got.
It's to do with like having a.
Does she have deaf parents?
Parents, yeah. It's to do with. Yeah. It's the name that's given.
These something
who have deaf parents.
Deaf parents, yeah. I know exactly what movie you're talking about. And I just can't think off the top of my head what it's called. That looks good though.
Yeah. Yeah, it does look good. That one I'm kind of interested in. I've heard good stuff, but
I think we might be in for a surprise, like with Belfast to do.
I wouldn't give it like best film. Well, I don't know because I haven't seen the contenders, but it'd be good to see like some of the good performances picked up. So the lead actress is Katrina something. I just can't remember her surname. Like she's already been picked up for the BAFTA nomination. So I would love to see her win. I think she is fantastic in that film. I think Ciaran Hynes is brilliant as well. But he's a pro at this point.
Right, guys, thanks very much for coming on and breaking down Belfast with me. And we'll have to wait and see what happens come, I think it's March when the Oscars hit, but we'll have to see if Belfast can pick up any awards between now and then. And thanks very much, and I'm sure we'll see you again at some point. For everyone else, you can check out the rest of our episodes on Google Podcasts and Spotify. And as always, keep watching movies. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.